Good afternoon. It is 2:06. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka, Alaska on July 3rd, 2012. I've got your Sitka and Port Alexander weather today. Mostly cloudy skies, highs around 57 degrees, west winds 10 miles per hour. Tonight, much the same. Mostly cloudy skies, lows around 48 degrees, west winds to 10 miles per hour. Independence Day tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, a slight chance of rain, highs around 56. Light winds becoming west 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Sounds like a great day for a parade. Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, a slight chance of rain, and highs around 54 to 60 degrees. Light winds southwest 5 miles per hour. Single Muskeg Message tickets are available for Raven Radio's 30th anniversary banquet, which will be this evening, and you can pick those tickets up at Old Harbor Books. If you have any questions, 747-5877. Well, good afternoon. My name is Lily, and I am going to be your guest host, one of your guest hosts on the Trans Global Music Express for this lovely, rather balmy afternoon in Sitka, Alaska and Southeast Alaska. So I have the great pleasure of going to have a guest on the line with us today. Sean, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Lily. How are you?
I'm well. I'd like to introduce Sean Barlow, who is the mastermind behind a long-running, very popular program on Raven Radio, Afropop Worldwide, and a former Sitkin and a former volunteer right here at Raven Radio. It's so great to have you, Sean.
Yes, yes. It's good to be back on the air and Raven. And, you know, actually, I would really love to be there to take part in the 30th anniversary. I tried, but I just couldn't put it all together. So here we are, second best. And Marika Partridge, a great friend of mine, will represent for the Afropop Brooklyn contingent.
All right. Well, what's very exciting is that Sean has put together a great set list for us of different music and covering a lot of different times in your life, I guess. So Sean, you know, I think a lot of people are probably real interested in how you came to be a Sitkin early on in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was living in New Mexico and at the time, and I just decided, you know, I wanted something. I've always wanted to go to Alaska, actually, and I was only like 25 years old. This is way back in, 1982, so that really dates me, doesn't it? But anyway, so I just saw the opportunity and headed up there to Seattle, where I just walked the docks, you know, looking for a job, and I found a job, flew up to Sitka, and within like 2 hours of landing, I was out on a boat, on a longliner, a black cod boat, and you know what? I was there, and it was a totally new kind of alien environment, but I turned on the radio, and there was Irish music coming out of the radio. I said, "Whoa! There's what station in Sitka, Alaska is playing Irish music?" I say, "Oh, this station was just launched." So that was March 1982. So I think I came up the same month that Raven Radio was launched,
right,
or nearby at least.
Signed on the air, yeah.
And then, of course, I was doing all sorts of work up there. Worked in the cold storage a lot, the co-op, and I was drawn to the radio station, and I walked in one day, and I said, I met Marika, and I said, you know, I love world music. I've actually brought some stuff, some African music with me. You know, I'd love to do a world music show. And she said, well, we don't have one. Sure, do it. So it's like open, you know, wide open that you could do a radio show, you could do, you know, theater, you could do news. I mean, it was just such incredible listening and rather learning experience. And so I did different shows from years to years, and this first music we're going to hear is my theme music. The second season there, it was 1983, when my handle was Master Blaster, that we played the theme music from King Sunny Ade called Jafumi, who I had seen. When was it? I think it was February 1983 in Berkeley, California. This amazing African big band, King Sunny Ade from Nigeria, And he totally changed my life. You know, I saw the artists come up one by one, layering the percussion, layering the five different guitar parts, and then finally he emerges on the stage, and I was just totally wowed, you know. So when I came up to Sitka next season, I just started this show with Jean Poumi as the theme song.
Well, I'm really excited to be able to hear that theme song, and it sounds like quite the venture, Sean, from a guy from New Mexico going out on a long line in the Derby days of long lining and being on the cutting edge of world music. I mean, at that time in the early 80s. So,
You know what? I wasn't from New Mexico. I was from back east. I grew up around Washington. And I went to school up in New England, and I just felt so totally alienated from the East Coast and Ronald Reagan coming to power. You know, whether or not you like him or not, I was not a fan. So I said, "Hell, I'm getting out of here." So I went to New Mexico and then up to Alaska. So I was kind of a wayfaring guy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I can't. So this is your theme song. What was the name of your show?
Let's see. You know, I think it was something like Hot and Taught Tunes or something like that.
All right. Well, we're going to hear Sean's theme song. And is there another song after that, or will we...
Yes. There's a song by Prince Nico Mbarga, who it was a mega hit in West Africa called Sweet Mother. And it was recorded in 1976, but it's still, everyone loves it.
All right. We're going to be back with Sean Barlow, but we're going to have a great afternoon of lively music. Thank you for being with us. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.
Yeah, Ulia lukura jafu. Ulia bira jafu aze. Ulia lukura jafu. Eleda mi mama bagbe mi ye o. Obama maja o. Ori le nini bere koni. Uli wo bilili beni. Ese wo bilili beni ya. Turi kuangoloto, guloto nkoa. Kuangoloto, guloto nkoa. Uri miye, ja, 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 ja fumi.
Thank you.
Song called Sweet Mother. Sean, tell us again who that is.
That's Prince Nico Mbarga and his Rockafile Jazz Band, and from back in the mid-70s. You know, some tunes just, you know, they just find a place in people's hearts, and it's talking about, you know, you can lose your wife or your husband or, but you can never lose your mother. So it's sort of hit the sweet spot there.
All right. Well, I really like that Ja Fun Mi by King Sunny Ade. That must have been quite the concert. So just as if you're just joining us here on the Transglobal Music Express on this Tuesday afternoon, my name is Lily, and I'm co-hosting with Sean Barlow, who, Sean, are you in Brooklyn right now? Or you're
I'm in Brooklyn, yep.
Right. So co-host from Brooklyn, New York, and Sitka, Alaska. And Sean was a volunteer here at the radio station when the station first signed on, and has been a radio broadcaster. So, Sean, I know we're going to get to it later in the show, but talk a little bit about what you're doing right now.
Okay. Well, it's been, for about 25 years now, maybe even longer. See, I was able to do my work because of Sitka, because of the fishing industry. And one year in 83, 84, I went around the world for like $6,000 and living on kind of illegal exchange in China. And then the next year I went to West Africa. The first time was to India to do research on the Carnatic music tradition, which I think we'll hear a segment of. And the second time was to West Africa, to Ghana, Cameroon, and Congo. And that all led, fast forward to doing a kind of a demo for Afropop in 86. And then I put in some grants, and I was lucky, and I got some funding to do the weekly series. And that started on NPR in 88. So it's been a kind of a dream job, you know. I'm a music journalist, but mm-hmm. then again, you know about nonprofits, Lily. It's a lot of work just to keep the money
coming
and keep it all happening. But you know, so far we're doing good.
So here you are, a person who started doing a volunteer show on a rock in the Pacific, and you went on to create a radio program that is broadcast around the world, featuring African music and African-influenced music. So we'll talk a little bit about those early days of being a disc jockey here at KCAW.
Well, it was just a lot of fun. It was my major creative outlet, you know. It kind of saved me, actually. You know, I just look forward to doing the radio show, and I made friends with the whole radio community, Marika and Jake and Mary and you and Chris and Eric Hart and so many people. The radio folks became my friends, and was mostly I was playing, you know, African music, but I also played Balinese music and, you know, Asian music and mm-hmm. Hawaiian music. That show was called Explorations in World Music. So then I got a little more focused, but I also brought a little air check. I went to my local storage unit here in Brooklyn. You know, you have very small apartments in Brooklyn because it's so expensive.
You could just fill it up with recordings, no doubt.
Yeah, and I went to my storage unit and dug through and found all this tape from back in the day, and including this one of Eric Hart. Some of your listeners will remember Eric, great guy, who was there, I think, in the early 80s. I can't remember when he came and left, but he worked at the newspaper. He was the printer. He ran the printing presses, and then he did a job. He started his own business as a bicycle repair shop guy, and we shared a place, actually, for one summer. And so we decided, hey, let's come on and do a show together. And so I just wanted to kind of give you a little, and Eric says hi, by the way, to everyone who's listening. Eric, you know, would have loved to have come, but he had complications and so on, but he's there in spirit celebrating Raven. And I wanted to play a little bit of that show that we did way back when.
All right. So you said that Eric, was he working at the Daily Sitka Sentinel? Is that where he worked?
He was. Uh-huh. Is the Sentinel still going?
Absolutely. Strong. The Polson family is rocking the town with that. I mean, we're really lucky. We've got, continues to have Raven local news and the local newspaper. So, yeah,
wow.
they're great.
You're lucky. I just heard New Orleans' main newspaper has had to going from 7 days a week to 3 days a week. And you can keep a paper going 7 days a week. That's very impressive.
Yep, 5 days a week, a daily. It's lovely. So
okay.
All right, so we're going to hear Sean Barlow and Eric Hart, an air check from the early 80s that was recorded right here on Raven Radio. Sean, I'll be back with you in just a few seconds.
Okie doke.
Yep.
Yes, different from the many that I've known. The end every day, bound to walk a strange new road. By myself, I keep living it right or wrong. Long gone by myself, yeah, I keep living it right or wrong.
Oh, we're back in the studio. That was Jerry Jeff Walker, Drifting Way of Life. Seems to be my fate. Hey, you're talking about a drifter. We've just seen a drifter drifting back in here.
Yeah, drifted right back in. I'm glad to see that Sean the Master Blaster is taking care of Sitka's rock and roll needs in the evening.
Well, yeah, well, of course, we wouldn't forget the rock and rollers in town. The Buddy Holly fans, particularly, with the roller rink fantasy before that, and a couple Grateful Dead. How many Grateful Dead heads are out there tonight? It sounds pretty dead to me. Marshall Tucker before that, Can't You See? What a classic.
Southern rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. All the way. Allman Brothers before that with Statesboro Blues. Kind of bluesy for you. Well, Eric, do you think we should let people call in and request things, or do we want to hog the airwaves? Do we want to do just what we want to do?
Just call right in. If you ain't got the good taste to request something that we like to hear, we won't play it, but you can call in here at 747-5877.
Yeah.
We'd love to talk to you.
That's our policy, exactly. Right on. Okay, well, what are the people going to hear next, brother?
Little Feet.
Little Feet, let's do it.
Dixie Chicken.
And all the moments left at the bar began to sing.
Sean, that is a great piece. What did that set end with? That was great.
I thought I'd throw in a curveball there. It's a recording from the Explorer series on Nonesuch Records. And these records actually, this is what they call kind of a monkey chant from Indonesia. You know, about 100 guys in a circle and chanting and throwing their arms to the air and so on. But I picked this because, you know, I did like bring some African music up to Sitka with me.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a great, you know, record library there. And all this fantastic records music I'd never heard of before. And this is something I discovered up there at the Raven Library. And you know, this is before the days of the internet, and
mm-hmm.
you couldn't buy anything on Amazon, and there was no downloading music at all. It was just what you had on cassettes or on LPs. That was kind of primitive, but you know, is there still a record library there? LPs?
There are. We have two turntables in the newly renovated studios. On each studio that we have, yeah, vinyl is very important to Raven Radio. There are lots of our volunteers and staff members who use it. So I'm going to try to find that Explorer series. I mean, I've played lots of Nonesuch in my time here, but I don't know that one specifically. And we consider the record library here at the station one of the greatest assets. I mean, it's just priceless. And the story, for you who may be new to Sitka, if you don't know the story, our record library was put together by Jake Schumacher and certainly Marika Partridge and Rich and Susie, and everybody had influence, but Jake really brought together a very eclectic mix of music to start the radio station, and then was on a subscription list and built that library over time. So we have folks who will walk, musicians who will walk into this station and who are performing, you know, say at our Performing Arts Center in the evening, and they get lost in the record library because there are so many gems. We're really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great to hear. You still believe in vinyl.
Definitely. So you had your shows in the evening. I like the Master Blaster. And then
mm-hmm.
you talked about traveling to India and collecting music. And that's really where I think you and I met, Sean. I remember you, like, living in the production room. Every time I went by, you would be, I swear, you must have had a sleeping bag in there. You produced the Carnatic music tradition right here in the studios of Raven Radio. Talk about
that. And my gig was, I came in around midnight and I left around dawn when Kathy Cody, whoever was doing the, or Will was doing the morning news,
mm-hmm.
the morning edition rather. And so I kind of just worked when no one else wanted to work. And Rich gave me a very, real good deal. I mean, I was able to, come up with a pretty modest-sized grant and, you know, give a modest-sized amount of money to kind of like, you know, a little honorarium to the station.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, before actually we did the Carnatic Music Tradition, that four-part series that I produced at Raven, I had, just to give you a little background, I decided to fulfill a dream and travel around the world, and I could do it for $6,000. And the whole focus of the trip was South India, and at the time called Madras,
mm-hmm.
and there's this exquisite classical music tradition with violinists and singers and flute players, and this young kid who, by the name of Master U. Srinivas, who was a master of the mandolin. He played like classical mm-hmm. Carnatic music on the electric mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was 83, 84 that I did this trip, and I came back, and I was and I was able to convince the people at All Things Considered to put up a 5-minute piece on the air there. And so that was my first real, national exposure.
Okay,
and,
so that happened,
you know, through Raven's, I did the prep work through Raven's studio. And then later came the, you know, the four-part series. But I think, do you have the first, the segment three there, the first one with just on All Things Considered,
yeah.
Master Usher Nivan?
Yeah, let's listen to that. We'll go to that
okay.
right now.
Cool.
14-year-old Master Yu Srinivas of India is a child prodigy of the mandolin. He plays Carnatic classical music, a highly developed tradition of art songs composed in southern India during the 18th and 19th centuries. Every year, musicians and music lovers gather in Madras for the Grand Carnatic Music Festival. Sean Barlow, member station KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, attended the Madras Music Fest, where mandolin Srinivas, as he is called, was the sensation of the event.
Mandolin Srinivas calls on his god and his guru to bless them with a worthy performance. Then he walks on stage dressed in white from head to toe. His black oiled hair is slicked back and sacred ash smears his forehead. He looks more like 9 or 10 than 14 years old. Srinivas is dwarfed by his lanky guru, the rotang guttum player, and the thick-armed mridangam drummer. Together, they sit in a semicircle and perform. The audience keeps the rhythm with claps and hand waves. They groan at particularly pure tones. Smiles radiate all around. The young mandolin master dances on his listeners' souls. The mandolin is a novel instrument for the Carnatic Concert Hall. Srinivas happened to pick it up from his father, who ran a light classical orchestra that performed at weddings. In addition to the mandolin, Carnatic musicians have adapted other foreign instruments, such as the violin, which the British introduced in the late 18th century. Adaptability and resilience are as essential to Indian history as music and religion are wed in the Indian psyche. Most compositions express intense religious feelings, and instrumentalists like Srinivas must learn the text and spirit of the songs they bring to life. Translator C.S. Rao, a friend of Srinivas's family, talks about the vital relationship between music and religion.
Here we consider music as divine, because there is no song without praise or mention of God in Indian music. That is particularly Carnatic music, I mean. And it is said music is a mystic thread that binds world to world, soul to soul, and all to God.
In a traditional guru-disciple relationship, Srinivas lives and studies daily with his teacher Sri Subbaraju. Sheet music is not used for instruction. Instead, Subbaraju will sing a song, mandolin Srinivas will repeat it by ear, and then improvise. Sri Subbaraju.
His creative knowledge is something stupendous, and nobody can explain how it has come and all. He has got such a natural creativity. He was able to pick up what all he taught instantaneously. And what all he taught, he picked up, he improvised.
Improvisation is an outstanding feature of Carnatic music and is one of its striking differences from the set compositions of European classical music. When Srinivas improvises with violinist Radha Narayanan, the playful exchange of musical ideas reminds one more of jazz than classical. Mandolin Srinivas' life is one of rigorous discipline. He practices about 6 hours a day. Add a busy concert schedule to the routine, and it doesn't leave time for normal schooling. The young master does not like to talk much about himself, but he will tell you that he doesn't like sweets, nor does he much care for movies. Sports are not high on his list either, although Srinivas does enjoy listening to an occasional cricket commentary. Srinivas adores his mandolin, and he loves to perform. He's always wanted to come to America, and this fall he'll get his wish. As part of his first American concert tour, mandolin Srinivas will perform this September at the Navaratri Festival at Wesleyan University's Center for the Arts, a center for the study and performance of world music. For National Public Radio, this is Sean Barlow.
American prajalaku, sangeeta prajalaku, namaskaram.
American people and American music lovers, my greetings. Namaskaram. Thank you.
Well, Sean, that was that was a really good story. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, I had such a great subject, and the music. Just this, I'm just smiling from ear to ear here to remembering that whole scene. And of course, I think, oh my God, I sound kind of stiff there. When you think how you sounded 27 years ago, but anyway, such is life.
Master, I'm very proud of that. What is Master Srinivas doing now? Is he still with us?
He's still with us, I'm not the current with what he's doing. I imagine he's still. He was kind of this child phenomenon, literally child mm-hmm. prodigy, and like housewives would go see this kid's performances. And he was kind of like a matinee idol. Besides being, you know, a phenomenal virtuosic musician, he was the sort of the cute kid that everyone loved to see.
Yeah.
So now he's grown up; he doesn't quite have that same appeal. But I'm sure that he's still recording and performing.
Yeah.
But now you're inspiring me to go and find out what's up.
I know. I think I'm going to do the same. So. Well, and that was a really well... So when you traveled to India, how did you record Master Srinivas?
Well, I had basic gear. It was, you know, back in the day we did use cassettes. So it was just, I forget, it was a Sony recorder. And mm-hmm. the thing with the piece coming up, you'll see, the Carnatic music tradition, I requested that they... let me copy the festival performances, and they said, "Well, we'll think about it." And so they took about a month to decide. And meanwhile, I had gone down to Sri Lanka for a kind of R&R. And when I came back, they said yes. They trusted me, and
mm-hmm.
So. But basically, it's the gear is the same. You know that when you go out, it's just a different format. I mean, it's a different technology, but it's the same. You can go with light gear. And a good microphone, and you can use a Shure microphone for
mm-hmm.
acoustic performances. And you can take a little camcorder too. You can just video record your your interviews or the performances. And, you know, and that's actually one thing I wanted to say to especially the young folks listening today is that radio continues to be this. Very versatile medium to work in that you can go with relatively inexpensive gear to a place and you can yourself be the engineer, you can be the interviewer, you can be the person who sets up everything and come back with extraordinary material. And of course it always helps to have a local person there helping you out. But, the world is big, it's big and wide out there. And I tell interns who come intern at Afropop with us here in New York. I'll
mm-hmm.
tell people who live in smaller towns all across the country, just go somewhere. Go someplace and go someplace that you totally have you don't know anything about. Different languages. Actually, India they speak English, but just take your whatever $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 that you've earned and saved up and go. And it's the best education out there. It's the times in my life I learned the most. Was when I traveled, and the kind of the Sitka lifestyle allowed me to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think
so there's my point that I wanted to make.
Good pitch to urge everybody, kids included, to travel and think. I know, and now it's so easy with an iPhone. I mean, you can get great sound. I mean, I look at how many kids are producing videos for music or creating little vignettes and such. So it's. I think.
Definitely.
And to show someone like you who has made a career out of it and done so very successfully.
Yeah. But let me just follow through on that a bit is that, it's one thing to, to get all sorts of cool videos off of YouTube and, to get cool downloads and so on, and you can, put them together in a creative way for sure. But there's nothing like being there. It's nothing like living flesh and blood relationships which you have with people that you interview and you recording ambient sound. You can kind of create that through the art of radio. So all this stuff is fine and good, but there's nothing like actually being in a cool place, digging in and learning and bringing that back and making something of it.
Absolutely. Making original content. Going out, in the world gathering it. I agree completely. It's and right now we've got the Sitka Fine Arts Camp is still going live and strong here in Sitka, and a lot of very creative. It's the high school session right now. A lot of very creative kids over on the former SJ campus, working with a wide variety of people, keeping art alive in our town. So
excellent.
Yeah. So we're gonna take a chance to, or take some time to really listen to one of your segments of the Carnatic music tradition. Talk about, you know, how was it? How did you learn about what you were good at, and as you were putting this series together?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting point, because when I was doing the Carnatic music tradition, I did everything, you know. I mean, I had some tutoring from the staff, but basically, you know, I was the host, I was the writer, you know, I was the producer, you know, I was the marketer, you know, I, you know, called stations around the country, and I found out what I was good at, and I found out what I was not so good at. You know, I don't think I'm a really tremendously talented on-air personality. That's why Georges Collinet is the host of Afropop, because he is an on-air personality. And I didn't feel particularly great at engineering, you know, but I knew I was good at research and gathering material and conceiving a story, and I knew I loved marketing. You know, it's one thing to have a creative product; it's another thing to actually, you know, get through to the gatekeepers to convince them to play your stuff. So actually, going through the whole process at Raven really did was a big education going forward.
All right. Well, so tell us about the segment we're going to hear here of the Carnatic music tradition. Give us a little intro.
Okay. Well, actually, you're going to hear Kathy Cody, who I hired to be my intro person, and then me. So it's really there's a lot of explanation there. So I'll just say that this is part two of the Carnatic music tradition, and the feature artist T.N. Krishnan, who's a violinist, and his daughter, and the theme of the show was the art of improvisation.
All right. Well, we're coming up close to the top of the hour. It is 2:54. You're listening. Well, why don't you do the station ID for us, Sean?
Okay. All eight stations?
No, you can just do the ID.
Okay. Yes, this is Sean Barlow, and you're listening to KCAW. What the frequency is what now?
104.7 in Sitka and 90.1. We have two.
104.7 in Sitka and 90.1 where?
Also in Sitka.
Also in Sitka. Oh, okay. Okay. Now I've got my prep together. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, you're listening to KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, 104.7 and 90.1.
Welcome to the Carnatic Music Tradition, a series of programs featuring South Indian masters of the violin, mandolin, flute, and voice. This program was produced with funds provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting through National Public Radio's Satellite Program Development Fund. The program was produced by Sean Barlow, who is solely responsible for its content. This series is also part of the Festival of India 1985-86, an 18-month-long celebration of Indian performing arts and culture in the United States. Every year, musicians and music lovers gather in Madras, India, for a grand Carnatic music festival. Your host, Sean Barlow, attended the fest and invites you to join him in the musicians' homes and to enjoy their concert performances at the Music Academy of Madras. And now, here's your host.
Thanks for joining us, and welcome once again to the Carnatic music tradition. This program features leading Carnatic violinist T.N. Krishnan and the art of improvisation. Carnatic music, the classical music of South India, is outstanding for the tremendous creative freedom it cultivates for improvisation within certain forms. you'll hear Krishnan at his home in Madras as he and his daughter, V.G. Narayan, demonstrate the successive stages of improvisation known as Ragam Tanam Pallavi. And you'll hear selections from the Ragam Tanam Pallavi performance at the Music Academy of Madras. As soon as you enter Krishnan's home, his wife offers you sweet, strong South Indian coffee. In the living room, you notice the traditional Hindu floor paintings next to a tower of electronic devices topped by a video cassette player. The family's fond of I Love Lucy reruns. From the adjoining music room comes the sound of the Shruti box, providing the ever-present drone in Carnatic music. Krishnan and daughter are sitting cross-legged in the music room, with the violin resting between their left shoulder and right foot. That gives their left hands maximum mobility to enunciate the gamakas, or grace notes. Krishnan begins by demonstrating free rhythm improvisation known as raga alapana elaboration.
So this is the raga elaboration, just the outline. So this can be played according to our imagination and according to time duration. If you want to play, you can play for 10 minutes, or if you want to do it for more than 10 minutes, you can play that. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, whichever, mm-hmm. according to the situation. Mm-hmm. Now I will play another scale, that is Shanmuga Priya.
Relationship, the improvisation relationship between the two violinists?
Sometimes you follow the other, sometimes you just overtake and do something new, and that then you become just there is a competition, you know.
It also depends on your imagination and ideas at that present moment. Suppose you get a lot of ideas and you feel like playing, then the other person just, you know, knows that the other wants to play and just sits quiet. But suppose both of you want to share an idea, then you play together. So that's how it goes.
Thank you.
N. Krishnan, along with his daughter V. G. Narayan and his son Sriram Krishnan, at the Music Academy of Madras in India. That was a free rhythm improvisation and elaboration of Shanmukapriya Raga. Krishnan referred to raga in a kind of shorthand way as scale, but it's more than just an ascending and descending pattern of notes. The raga implies characteristic phrasing and embellishments, or if you will, pathways through the music, capable of elaboration and improvisation. The next stage of improvisation is called Tanam. Here's Krishnan and his daughter to demonstrate Tanam, followed by a selection from their concert performance.
See? So this is called Tanam.
Jumping up and down.
It sounds like a pulse to it, a rhythmic pulse.
It's like giving a beat with your bow. It's improvisation without beat. Do you give it a beat of your own?
And now, a selection from their concert, Tanam.
Thank you.
Was Thanam. Next is Pallavi, the crowning gem in a Carnatic concert performance.
Pallavi, it's Pada, Pa for Pada, La for Laya, V for Vinyasa. Pada, Laya, Vinyasa. That is words, Tala, rhythm, Laya is rhythm, Vinyasa is elaboration. Words, rhythm, elaboration, improvisation.
In Pallavi, the artists take a melodic line and elaborate it. They choose a line by the well-loved composer Tyagaraja. Pallavi is improvisation with rhythm, and the mridangam drummer enters to provide a tala, or cycle of beats, in this case aditala, 4 plus 2 plus 2.
Aditala, 8 beats. And the beginning is after 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Na, 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 na.
And later in the piece, T.N. Krishnan groans encouragement as his children elaborate. Thank you. V.G. Narayan and her brother Sri Ramakrishnan continue to improvise in a further development called Svarakalpana, and then they bring it back to the Pallavi theme. Following the Pallavi, the percussionists get a chance to display their rhythmic wizardry in an improvised exchange called a tani. Here's Bangalore Manjanath on guttum, or clay pot, and Karaikudi Krishnamurti on mridangam, a double-ended drum capable of about 14 distinct sounds. Thank you. So ends the Ragam Tanam Pallavi. This emphasis on improvisation in South Indian Carnatic music is perhaps the most striking thing for a Westerner, especially anyone grounded in Western classical music. The give and take, the inventiveness on stage, the melodic and rhythmic surprises all make Carnatic music an exciting performing art. After the creative heights of the Ragam Tanam Pallavi, Carnatic musicians usually season the performance with some light classical pieces. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us in the Carnatic music tradition for coming programs featuring the exquisite flute playing of N. Ramani and the deeply felt devotional singing of D.K. Jayaraman. And my thanks to all those who have helped make this series possible, especially T.N. Krishnan and V.G. Narayan, who played for me in their music room at home one very rainy night in Madras.
This program was produced with funds provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting through National Public Radio's Satellite Program Development Fund. The producer was Sean Barlow, who is solely responsible for its content. Technical assistance by Mary Baker. Additional voicing by Kathy Cody. Produced in the studios of KCAW-FM in Sitka, Alaska.
In this special edition of the Carnatic Music Tradition, coming to you over the program Transglobal Music Express on this Tuesday afternoon. And Sean, what a amazing program. It was such an intimate look at what you did, 30 years ago almost.
Yeah, it's quite proud of that. And, I don't know, solely responsible for its content. I don't know who's going to come out and sue me or anything, but... like I said, it really was a great way to combine travel and finding out about a whole music tradition, coming back and having the support of the station and Sitka to actually put it together. What happened after that, I was actually pretty good at being ahead of myself. I would be gathering fresh material while having, for instance, the Carnatic music tradition material in hand, ready to, waiting for a grant or whatever, mm-hmm. so that I was always one step ahead of myself, including my first time going to Africa, which was, March, April of 1985. First went to Africa, and I always wanted to go. And knowing I'd come back to produce the series, and I put together a little mini set here for you, Lily, and the listeners.
Yeah.
One of the most fun places I went to in Africa or ever, really, any trip, was Zaire. It was called Zaire at the time. Now it's called Congo, the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And imagine a place where really things don't get going until 1 in the morning. And you've got all these outdoor clubs. This is the capital city, Kinshasa. And there's all these outdoor clubs, and they had this phrase, yes, we'll be there, we'll be playing jusqu'à l'aube. That means up until dawn. And it's true, there's these great bands, great guitar work, amazing singers, you know, high male harmony singers, and really nimble, beautiful guitar playing. I mean, the level of musicianship was just amazing. And a very chaotic city, but I was lucky enough to go there and gather material for the Afropop pilot, the first pilot. And this first song I have lined up for you is by Zyko Longa Longa. And they were very, very big at the time. And they had this thing, this kind of dance that they had. It was first, second, third, and fourth edition. So all this kind of movement, you know, like you kind of like, imagine you're shifting gears on a truck or something like that. And so they had all these movements and gestures and so on that went along with the dance. And what's really cool, one time the leader of the band drove up in his green BMW at this really ratty hotel in Kinshasa where I was staying. Well, I think it was called Love Zaire, so you kind of get the point, what was going on there. But anyway, so we went to the gig, and there were these all these kids, they're average age, like, I don't know, 20, 18, whatever, 25, and they all knew how to do this sort of communal dance, but at the same time they can kind of spin out of it and do their own thing, do their own improvisation. But it really showed me, wow, the power of, you know, people dancing together, you know, mm-hmm. And I was too late for, you know, swing dancing. I really didn't, you know, do a lot of partner dancing growing up, you know, and our dancing was kind of more, you know, free form rock and roll stuff, you know, or soul music, whatever.
Right.
But anyway, this is just fantastic music, and I was just led into the scene. And I'll say one thing that made a huge impression on me there in Kinshasa was that I hung out a bit with the probably the most influential African musician ever. His name is Franco, and he was just a band leader of 22 piece orchestras, and he had probably like 50 records to his credit, and he was a maestro of pulling together all the most all the best singers of the time, the best guitarists. Anyway, so I hung out with him a bit, and I went to this little club once, and didn't even know he'd be there. But anyways, we were talking, you know, and he's very kind of, you know, it was a bit intimidating. He obviously was a man of accomplishment and a man of opinion, you know. And he says to me, "Nous connaissons Aretha Franklin, James Brown, Wilson Pickett, mais vous, vous ne connaissez pas notre musique." You know, he said, you know, we, meaning the Zairians, know Wilson, James Brown, Aretha Franklin, Wilson Pickett, but you, meaning you, the Americans, don't know anything about us. And it's true. You know, I said to myself, you're right, Franco. This is something, mm-hmm. This is something that should be corrected, you know? And that was kind of my rallying cry. You know, there's all this fantastic music I had been blessed to experience in Congo and Zaire at the time, and very little of it was known. And now it's a different story. Now it's so easy to, you know, get music from here, there, and everywhere. But back then, remember, it was LPs and cassettes. You know, it was very, you know, hard to get stuff, you know. You had to bring it from Zaire. You had to bring it from Paris. You had to bring it from London. So I kind of took that as my mission to say, okay, you're right. You're right, Franco. I'm gonna do something about this in my own, you know, small way, kind of trying to get the music to turn this music onto people who I knew would love it, you know, because just good music is good music, like Duke Ellington said. You know, there's just no distinction about it. If it moves you, you know, it's great music. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox here, and let's hear some Zyko Longa Longa.
All right, I think you're a little too humble there, because I think you took that that suggestion to heart and have really changed, you know, the consciousness of African music in our country, certainly with your program Afropop Worldwide. So I think many of us owe you a great debt of gratitude for sharing with us at a time, I mean, well before the connectedness of the internet and everything, you turned on so many Americans and people across the world to African music, and we are very grateful. So I just had to say, you were a little bit too self-effacing there for my taste. So
I appreciate that. I have to also give due credit to Georges Collinet, who's been our host since day one. who has a fantastic personality and just a warm, warm voice for Afropop, and someone who actually was there on the scene 20 years before I was there. So we kind of shared our knowledge, and yeah, okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Kanisi butu pokiteo tala na komi na ubangi pona kolele la banoko meo sali kolota na miseteli na kolela tala na kati maindombe pona koluka babotie
Guadeloupe, on les Antilles, en Afrique, c'est chale.
set of music you had for us there, Sean.
Yeah. That was Samfon Toma, by the way, from Cameroon. African TP Collection, which is like a mega hit in the mid-80s when I was there and met him. And he's kind of calling out the different dance styles in West Africa. And then before that, we heard Pepe Kale, who's also known as l'éléphant de la musique zapoise. It means the elephant of Zairean music. And this is like a big guy, 300 pounds, whatever. And he had a sweet, sweet high voice, but it was coming out of this big guy. And then we started off with Zaiko Langa Langa, also from Congo.
So, Sean, how often are you in Africa these days? How much time do you spend there?
Well, you know, not as much as I would like. I'll say that. You know, we were in Egypt last time, last summer, actually. We stayed for a whole hour, and I mean a whole hour, a whole, yeah, we stayed a hot minute there. No, I stayed there for a whole month. And we made the gathering material for this Hip Deep in Egypt series, which was on Afropop Worldwide throughout late last year and early this year. And then sometimes we go to festivals, but mainly we have a network of producers, freelance producers who produce for us. One guy just got back from Nigeria 2 days ago, from Lagos, Nigeria, which is one tough city, and is doing a whole Hip Deep in Egypt series, Hip Deep in Nigeria series. And then we just dropped at the airport yesterday, literally, a producer, Ned Sublett, who's flying to Angola, another tough country, and is going to do a four-part series on Angola. So I get to sort of manage other people, and sometimes I get to go myself.
Oh, I see. That's very interesting that you're able to get around to more places by working with those
Definitely.
All right.
Young
well,
people. We work with a lot of people in their 20s.
Great. You always have to, I know, the graying of America. You have to, the graying of Afropop, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, so tell me, what are you listening to these days? What really makes you happy, and what are the new sounds?
Well, there's a couple of really cool albums out. One is the Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars from Sierra Leone, obviously. And they've just come out with a beautiful, beautiful album called Radio Salon. That's actually, I'm going to play you first a song, and we're going to play by a woman by the name of Khaira Arbi, who's from Timbuktu in Mali, who we first met in Timbuktu in Mali in the year 2000, and we were traveling with, we took Bonnie Raitt around Mali with about 20 other Afropop lovers, and we had this most magical experience. And we met Khaira, and of course now Mali and northern Mali is very, very, there's a tragedy unfolding there in terms of the Islamists who've taken control, and it's a very, very sad situation. But this woman, Khaira Arbi, is a beautiful singer. She's known as the Nightingale of the North. And then after that, we're going to hear a little Refugee All-Stars. But, you know, before, I know we're running out of time, Lily, and I'd love to keep going, but I suppose All Things Considered is knocking at the door. I'd like to just give a shout-out to my friends I know who are up for the 30th reunion, Rich, McClear, and Susie, your man Chris, I hear Nina Piper's there, Steph, Kathy Cody, Marika, Larry, and Chaney, and Irene, I think, Barnaby. So all my great friends up there, and I wish I could be there with you. But anyway, this has been a lovely way to spend a few minutes with you.
It's been great, Sean. I really appreciate you spending the last couple hours and talking about the old times and what you do on Afropop Worldwide now. And so it's great. So, all right. Well, I think we should go to your next playlist, your next set here.
This is Khaira Arbi from Mali.
Time just keeps rolling right on by here.
Yep. Isn't Hira Arby totally cool?
Really nice.
Yeah.
The
Nightingale
of the North?
Yes. One day maybe she'll do the Alaska tour.
The girl can dream.
Yes.
Well,
thanks so much, Lily, for giving me this chance to be on the air again, even, you know, from opposite side of the continent.
It's
been a lot of fun.
It was really great. I look forward to the day when you're actually here with us here in Sitka again, but I really appreciate you taking the time and great tunes that you shared with us. So thank you so much.
Sure. My pleasure. You know, I wanted to say also just a big thank you to Raven Radio for, you know, giving me my start, giving me a chance to do a weekly radio show and learn as I went, and to listen to all the other, you know, all the other shows that the volunteers were doing and learning from them. And it's just really great to know that community radio is alive and well in Sitka.
Alive and well because of a lot of great people from the past and present and future. We've got a great cadre of volunteers and listeners in this town, so we're really fortunate. And it's great that you've been a part of it and, you know, taking it worldwide. It's awesome.
You bet. And, Chip, if you want to check us out further, go to afropop.org, afropop.org, and you get a lot of shows in the back catalog and all sorts of cool stuff.
Right on. Well, thanks. Be well, and give our best to Georges Colinet as well.
Will do.
All right.
Okay, thanks,
Sean, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we're going to take a little bit of business before we go to NPR and All Things Considered.
Support for Raven Radio comes from Renaissance Construction, offering residential and commercial building services such as new construction, additions, and remodeling, as well as historical restoration and general carpentry services. Renaissance Construction, Jamal Float, General Contractor, 738-6699.